Hello, and welcome to Soul Up. I'm Kayleen Welsh, your guide to a lighter life. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? I almost feel like I've been living in a time warp. The days and weeks go by so fast. There is so much living to do, and what feels like too little time. It can be a challenge to be present and to take it all in. Living in the Northern Hemisphere, I've enjoyed the warmer weather that is settling in. Everything is green and blooming. Gardens and fields are coming alive. Plants and flowers growing toward fullness from the little seed they started out as. As a part of life on this planet, we humans do essentially the same thing. We follow the rhythm of our season and the flow of universal energy in its pulses and waves, eventually living our fullness before we cycle back around again. Life is full, and current astrology is epic. And yet we don't need it to see that the systems and functions of the world we've created are combusting. I also see hope as light workers and souls of kindness create an energy grid to hold us all through this great transition. In this episode, I want to start with a look back at the energy we've just come through. If we give it some consideration, we may see a connection. We can follow the threads to what is showing up in our life with this weekend's full moon in Sagittarius. As many planets, and I see each of these planets as an archetypal character of the psyche. So as each of these planets have crossed the 0 point threshold of Aries in just these last few months, they all had to interact with a few other characters. The first one they met was Neptune, rekindling their emerging spiritualized sense of self. It is an up-leveling that brings a higher frequency. In all honesty, I don't think we know the impact that that has had or will have. You know, much that has been lying below the surface in our unconscious has burst to the surface, and we have no choice to see it. This has been the process of the last few years. And in most recent astrology, this is where Eris and Chiron have come in. So I'd like to go back and tell you just a little bit more about each of them. Eris, as she was named in Greek myth, was known as Discordia by the Romans. So some refer to her as the goddess of discord. She's also recognized as Xena, the feminine warrior come to save a planet in desperate need. Eris wasn't officially recognized until 2005, so that was not all that long ago. Her discovery shook things up in the astrological world, and many of you may have heard about this on the news at the time, because she really got people talking. Turned out she was bigger than Pluto, and she ignited a question that the astrology world had been avoiding, revolutionizing kind of where they'd gotten stuck thinking and had avoided coming to a conclusion about what ended up being a creation of a new category of dwarf planets. Eris moves very slowly, and she has a highly eccentric orbit that takes 557 years to go around. She's in the astrological sign of Aries now. And this is an archetypal energy that she's held since the Roaring Twenties, when feminine energy emerged in a burst of what some would call outrageous expression. This is when we had the frilly flapper dresses and women started cutting their hair. They danced in clubs and smoked cigarettes and began to wear pants. They even talked about politics and getting the right to vote. Definitely upsetting the status quo, these behaviors defied social standards and shook things up. That's what Eris does. And that's been 100 years of Eris in Aries. So essentially all of us that are alive today have been infused with her influence. She's been shaping human identity for essentially all of our lives. And we've watched the lives of women and the expression of feminine energy radically change over the past 100 years. Now, despite what we may see and hear loud on the surface, or what I see held in little pockets, kind of wish expression by the last vestiges of the ugly side of masculine power, the higher frequency we are rising into is bringing yin and yang, masculine and feminine, the two creative energies of the universe, into greater balance. We've been talking about this for some time. Eris, at her most basic, is the enduring strength of the feminine seeking acceptance, belonging, and a voice that's heard. She speaks for all who have been outcast, marginalized, and unheard. Eris speaks to the truth behind social niceties, exposing the masks of polite society, revealing its inconsistencies, its injustices, and its phony faces. She pushes buttons, reminding us that there are buttons there to be pushed. She shows us what happens when we let our wounds get infected, when we deny our hurts, and unintegrated pain is buried and left to fester. She points out where we feel left out, not good enough. And she's been making her influence felt for the past 100 years. Joining Eris for the past year has been Chiron, the wounded healer. Chiron speaks to us of the wounds of being human. We all have them. Chiron helps us to see our triggers by showing them to us time and time again. Those same sore spots that keep coming up to cause us pain and difficulty. These are the fear-based survival patterns that we carry across lifetimes and generations. The tricky thing about Chiron is that if we want to heal, we first have to be willing to see the pattern. In her book, Chiron and the Healing Journey, Melanie Reinhart was clear, saying, and I quote, "The mythology of Chiron highlights the need for acceptance of our woundedness as a precondition for any healing that may follow," end quote. We've got to see it before we can free ourselves from it. Chiron has been showing us where the need for healing remains, holding these places up in the reflection of Eris, who is calling out the truth and disrupting the patterns. It is said that Chiron's appearance stimulates a process of initiation and leads toward a process of psychological rebirth. We, as participants in this, are offered a choice. We can either expand with awareness and integration, or go around again on a merry-go-round of the same old, until the wound energy builds to eruption. Together, Eris and Chiron have been disrupting the safety net, the status quo, that our collective wounds have led us to. They've been showing us things that we'd prefer not to see, things that we really can no longer deny, that don't fit the expanding frequency and level of consciousness that the universe is taking us to. It's the shakedown leading to the shape up, and the breakdown leading to the breakthrough. At least I hope, because it's up to us. We get to choose. Each one of us makes that choice every moment of how we want to live. It emerges through our thoughts and deeds, things that reflect this person that we are best able to be in that moment. Each of us has wounds to heal, big or small. We carry old hurts. We replay stuck thinking patterns that perpetuate overreactive and self-limiting or even self-destructive behaviors. Chiron and Eris have been bringing to the surface the pieces we need to address, and their process will continue for some time to come. Chiron ingresses into Taurus June 19th, yet will remain within 5 degrees of Eris for another year, until early May 2027. Eris will remain in Aries, shaping our identity as individuals and as a human family for another 18 years until June 11th, 2044. Chiron and Eris won't meet again until they connect in Taurus in the year 2079. Supporting the work of Chiron and Eris and the bigger evolving planetary picture, the full moon in Sagittarius is offering the energy to bring meaning and expanded consciousness to our experience, to move beyond the wounding into the healing, essentially to become more. The moon will reach its maximum fullness at 3:45 a.m. Sunday, May 31st, early in Sunday morning. The sun will hold one side of the apposition at 9 degrees Gemini, while the moon sits in polarity at 9 degrees Sagittarius. This is the second full moon of the month, so it's called a blue moon, its rarity leading to the expression once in a blue moon. The sun, in Gemini, keeps life hopping. There is much going on around how we connect to our place, to the people around us, our living community, and our neighborhood. Ruled by Mercury, there is a lot of activity and a lot of sound bites, thoughts, information, and breaking news. Talk and communication seems to center on issues of status quo and expectations around what's acceptable and what isn't. As we move forward into a new balance of energies, Gemini is said to hold the cosmic pattern of perfect androgyny, with masculine and feminine energies held in equality. The moon in Sagittarius, sitting at the furthest point away from the sun, opens awareness and stretches our points of commonality into expanded wisdom. It shows us where we become rigid or stuck, where we've relied too much on what others have said and not given enough attention to our own higher guidance. Sagittarius carries the energy of expansion and higher mind. It helps us to broaden our perspective, to think beyond the box, and to find wisdom in our experience. This full moon of the Gemini lunar cycle is known in metaphysical teachings as the Festival of Humanity. It brings a reminder that we are one world, rising or falling together as one humanity, and we are only as good as the sum of our parts. It is also said to bring a greater awareness of the mysterious potential of Christ consciousness that we hold within, that spark of the divine that we can consciously engage with to create a better world for all. A notable placement for this full moon is the position of Venus at 14 degrees Cancer, conjunct Sirius, referred to across wisdom teachings as our spiritual sun. A Venus-Sirius conjunction blends Venus's theme of love, beauty, value, and harmony with the radiant, high-frequency energy of Sirius. Their alignment is considered a deeply auspicious time for spiritual illumination, creative breakthroughs, and soul development. This full moon may bring a magnifying glass to your relationships, your self-worth, and your desires. The vibration of the divine feminine is heightened, inviting, and supporting the healing that Chiron and Eris have been asking for, along with a strengthened intuition and deepening emotional awareness. I invite you to step outside tonight, tomorrow night, and take a good look at the moon. As you do, consider the words of 14-year-old Elsa Propson, shared with permission from a recent edition of Inspired Driftless magazine. It's entitled Same Sky. Staring into the silver gleaming night sky, you're met with something endless. Stars shimmer like distant memories scattered across the darkness, while the moon hangs quietly, watching over the silent world. Planets wander like drifting souls, each carrying stories we may never know. In that moment, as your eyes trace the constellations, there is something that shifts inside of you. A strange and powerful stillness washes over your heart. A quiet so deep it drowns out your sorrows, regrets, and even time itself. The weight of the past, the anxiety of things that never were and never more will be, the noise of the day, all of it dissolves. You're left with only awe, held between the earth and the heavens. It feels as though you are the only person alive, like this sky was made just for you, almost as if the universe stopped, holding its gasping breath while you gaze upwards. And for that moment, the world doesn't feel small, or broken, or empty. It feels yours. And as your mind wanders, you begin to remember this sky, this breathtaking infinite canopy of specks is not yours alone. It stretches across oceans, mountains, and borders, bumping up against lives of billions. Somewhere on the other side of the world, someone is looking up too, with their eyes wide, their heart open, carrying their own burdens, and singing along to their own tune. They gaze into the same endless sky, seeking the same answers, and holding the same delicate hope. And in that shared moment, across miles and time zones, languages and communities, you are connected, not necessarily by words, but by wonder. The sky doesn't belong to anyone, but still it belongs to everyone. A silent witness to our wonders and griefs, to every fleeting life and every lasting dream. And when we look up, we are reminded that we are never truly alone. Thank you, Elsa, for your wisdom. If you value what you hear on this podcast, please like and share. It really helps me to reach more people. If you have thoughts or messages you'd like to share, please send them to me at connect@kayleenwelsh.com. Or if you'd like to know more about working together, you can always visit my website and learn more about that there. Until next time, shine on. Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny.
warm, sweet honey.